Our epistle lesson on this day is taken from 1 Peter in chapter 2. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people who are God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. At one time you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. At one time you were not shown mercy, but now you have been shown mercy. The word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. The middle school principal comes over the loudspeaker. It's the end of the day, it's the typical announcements, but there's one particular announcement he wants all of the student body to hear. There have been some shenanigans which have led to some graffiti that had something rather unkind to say about a certain teacher, but they haven't been able to figure out who the perpetrators are. But in that announcement, he makes sure he tells those who he's hoping will step forward and confess before they have to do a full-blown investigation. You know who you are. It's a rain delay. Seventh game of the World Series. A very rare rain delay. After nine innings have been played, a tie game. What does the team talk about? What does the team meeting really focus on? In that moment, a veteran player steps forward and says, "We know who we are." It's just a small group of people. Some from Divine Savior, some from other places. One family eventually from Kokomo because they're tired of driving all that way. Gathered around a dining room table. And one of those men who has never actually held a position in leadership in any congregation he's been a part of up until that moment says out loud to the rest of the group, "I have no idea if we will exist a year from now or we'll actually have a 10th anniversary someday, but I do know that if one person is in heaven as a result of our being here, we're a tremendous success." Think about that sentiment. Think about that vision. And think about this verse. Is there darkness in this community? Is there even darkness in this family of believers? Well, we know that all too well, don't we? That we've been called out of that darkness into God's wonderful light. That's why we gather to praise our God for that light of forgiveness and the assurance of His righteousness being applied to us. But also to shine that light out into a community that desperately needs to hear it. And that's difficult in a community like this, isn't it? And it has been for a very long time. I remember as we moved our way around to different communities in the area with different activities. We held a VBS at a grade school in Fishers. We did work in different places, and I remember how we would go from one neighborhood to another and sometimes have to travel through some pretty serious estates on, you know, acres of land with million-dollar homes. And one of our early workers turning to me, I was driving as we went through one of those areas saying, "How do we reach people like this? How do we reach people with the gospel who believe they have everything figured out? They have every creature comfort of life. They have the respect of others. They have control over others' lives, those who they employ. How do you reach people who aren't sure they even need a God?" Well, the answer then is the same as the answer is now. The darkness hasn't changed. You and I could kind of wonder if the darkness hasn't even gotten somewhat deeper, especially in the last year and a half. We see so many different ways that the darkness manifests itself. And we're tempted to forget that the darkness is also inside of us and among us. I remember the very first time we had a meeting where everybody didn't agree with each other on something big. But it's not what you might expect. The early church council had decided that maybe the expense that we were making on a weekly basis to have professionally made baked goods come our way for fellowship was something we really couldn't afford. And so the men gathered around that table decided, let's try something different. And they decided that it was time for families to make things and bring them for fellowship. Guess what happened? Those gentlemen got home and found out, oh no, we think the arrangement we have is just fine, and you need to make sure that phone call gets done before the coming weekend because we want to keep that contract going for the provided donuts. That was the first big controversy of Bethlehem. Not really a signal of darkness, I would say, but I remember the next time we didn't have full agreement on everything that we wanted to try to do together. It was a few years later, and it was a fascinating moment. Because we had permission for searching for land and potential building of something on that land with the synod's endorsement. And we had found two different places that two different groups of people really, really liked. One was down on 116th Street just west of Guilford, and one was up about 146th, an area that wasn't even developed yet. And that was the rockiest meeting we had. It just wasn't coming together. Nobody on either side wanted to budge. That was a Sunday evening. Well, it was Tuesday evening of that very next week that someone from Estridge Company called one of our leaders and said, we're going to put in a new subdivision out on 131st, and we have a set-aside at the front end of that subdivision for a child care center, and we'd really like a church to be on a little bit of other acreage there, and there's a couple other things we have planned. Would you like to talk to us? Darkness is always going to be around us. God's light, it'll come when you least expect it, won't it? To be the guidance you need, the moment to see what's in front of you to do. When you have the confidence of knowing who you are and you trust and you pray, you confess, you receive forgiveness. You do that on a daily basis in your life. As good Lutherans, those who actually know who Martin Luther is and know what he really said and what he really wrote and what he really encouraged Christians to be, it was law and gospel Christians, wasn't it? Those who have a sense of themselves, those who understand their own sinfulness, the darkness inside of themselves, the darkness in the world that surrounds us in a way that neither will ever surprise us, and that we will always be willing to take our responsibility in our adding to that darkness in either place, because we know. We know in honesty, as we look at our lives, as we look at the Word and measure our lives against it, that whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in the home, whether it's in the community, even amongst the congregation, we have had our moments to add darkness to the world through the sin that we were born with, through the sin that's already been paid for in the blood of Jesus Christ, and yet a sin that we just can't rid ourselves of, which helps us understand every day. We're not better than anybody else. Just because we have the gospel, just because we have the word, just because we have a balanced law and gospel understanding of what the word presents to us, only means that we have a message to share. Only means that we understand how we are all equal with everyone else in the world, equally sinful, equally broken, equally pained over every last wrong thing that we do, every last temptation that we allow to linger, every word that we speak that is not following the prescription of the New Testament that says, in your anger, do not sin. That's a challenge, isn't it? to express your displeasure, to express your opinion that is different than someone else's, and in no way ever become angry in that moment, say nothing about present anger to the person to whom you're talking. The reality is we know the darkness of the world all too well. And yet, you're a holy nation, the people who are God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. One time, you were not a people. We're not a congregation. No church here, no church in Carmel. But now, you are the people of God. At one time, you were not shown mercy, but now, you have been shown mercy. How do you shape that for others who don't understand it? How do you communicate that? It's the biggest challenge of any congregation, this size or any other, just starting out or 100 years old. How do you turn that gospel toward a world that doesn't understand that it even needs it? That doesn't understand the depth of its own brokenness? That believes that human beings are going to find out all the answers to all the big stuff and sort it all out in a way that will lead us to understand that what we really need to do is just embrace everybody else. As soon as you hear it, you know that doesn't make sense. As soon as you hear it, you know that's just not an option. And so how do you take this light, this calling, this identity, and shape it and speak it to a community that needs to hear it? Simply let the Word do its work. Take every opportunity you have to tuck away in your mind and your heart the tools God gives you. In essence, create your own personal and congregational toolbox of favorite passages. Think about the moments of your life where you needed comfort, where you needed correction, where you needed direction. What were the words others shared with you, others who were more concerned about your spiritual welfare in that moment than anything else about you? What were the words of God from His Scriptures that worked for you? Be confident they will work for others. And share it with them just that way. This is what made the difference for me when I was in your shoes. When I was mourning a death, when I was a new young parent, when I had a job transfer sitting in front of me and I didn't know which way to turn with that decision because I knew the job was cool and the opportunity was awesome, but it wasn't the best thing for my family at that moment. Whatever it is that's on your docket that day, you have opportunity to turn to the Word, to have that Word guide and shape everything about that circumstance of your life. But then, as that Word has worked for you, in you, let it work through you to be the message you offer to others. And the most important element of it all is the righteousness that is a gift. The simple reality that no matter who else you may encounter in life or in this community or beyond into the world in which you live, confessional scriptural Christianity is the only place that anyone is ever going to find substitution. Ever going to find true grace? The unconditional, totally committed love of a God who has done absolutely everything necessary for any and every human being, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, to live with Him forever. That's the light we're talking about here. That's the reason for our praise. That's what makes that light so marvelous. It's a righteousness from God. A gift from Him that leaves nothing more for you and I to do but to praise Him for it. To follow Him in worship, in life, in confession and proclamation. Because He's made us righteous. He's made us His people. He's made us part of His eternal kingdom, children in His family, citizens of His nation. And And what a marvelous, beautiful thing it is. Whether it's always about people who agree on every point of Scripture the way you and I enjoy fellowship in a place like this, or whether it be the extended relationships to our more distant cousins in Christianity who still do understand the forgiveness of Christ, the love of God expressed through the righteousness given as a gift that makes us all approved to live with God forever in heaven. When you're looking into the eyes and listening to the voice of someone you know is also a part of this kingdom, this people, you know what a difference that makes. And so you and I are driven, pulled along by the Holy Spirit, to realize every single day has its opportunities. Every single day gives us the ability to build something new for God. It might not be big. It might not be a result like this that none of us could have envisioned 30 years ago. It's another word. It's another conversation. It's another gesture of compassion, of forgiveness, of patience, kindness, love. Think of your favorite portions of Scripture that lay out for you what Christianity and Christians look like and sound like and live like, and recognize a moment like this in a place like this is built one act of praise, one moment of confession, one godly decision at a time. That's how God builds each of us into His believing children. That's how He knits His family together. One word of forgiveness. One word of guidance. One word of correction at a time. And so while you and I have days like this and moments and places like this where we think, wow, what amazing things God can do over time, and might get ourselves all charged up into thinking what big things are next in front of us for us to do, it's vitally important, especially in times like these, to recognize the most important thing we can do today, tomorrow, every single day of our lives is be who we are. To know better and better who we are. By listening to God tell us who we are and assure us every single day. He lives in us. He speaks through us. And the fulfillment of these words, they hang on the wall in our dining room because this congregation gave us a beautiful tapestry with those words at the bottom. They were the theme verse of our initial activities together. That first December, who knew? And yet the Lord knew. There were immediately interactions with community members that had them coming back from war. Some openly saying that that fresh loaf of bread that was still warm left on the porch was the whole reason they came back. They wanted another. Do you do that with a second visit too? We had some decisions to make. But they were likely just joking. The reality is they came back. The word drew them back. And the numbers grew. And the ministry grew. And the opportunities grew. But that's not the whole story. The people that gathered here from the very beginning lived in diverse areas of the northern side of this city. And as they came to learn who they were through the Word in this place, from this book, they grew also in their ability to live it every day. Wherever they worked, wherever they lived, in every conversation. And so it's not about numbering members. It's not numbering how many now or how many over the course of time. It's exactly the opposite. It's numbering and praising God and rejoicing over how often God's people have lived their knowledge of who they are because of all that He has given to them and offered them in the forgiveness and love and the peace that comes to us through Jesus Christ in a community that absolutely needs it, because every community needs it. And so be encouraged that as you turn to God's Word, as you seek His guidance and you seek opportunities to share His Word with your world, your immediate world, He will bless, He will guide, souls will be saved, because you know who you are. Amen.